Business owners, we know how hard you work for your business. At Santander, we think it's time you got something back. Get cash back with a new Santander 123 Business Current Account. It's business, but not as usual. Cash back up to £300 annually on credit turnover. Monthly fee £12.50. For UK-based companies with up to two directors, owners or partners aged 18 plus. T's and C's apply.
Thursday, March 7, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, if you are tired of the same old sports talk that you get wherever it is that you live, maybe it's on your local radio, maybe it's your local TV, maybe it is just the national media companies that are out there giving you sports talk, and they're giving you the same tired takes and the same bizarre overreactions again and again and again, and jamming things down your throat that you really don't even believe, stick around here. You're going to like it a little bit better. We try to talk sports with a dose of common sense. Whenever it's possible, we'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world. And we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. And I've got a little bit of a different one for you today. Happy National Cereal Day to you as well. Yeah. Today, we celebrate National Cereal Day in honor of the most popular breakfast food that's out there. Do you remember mornings eating a bowl of cereal, reading the back of that cereal box, maybe trying to find the toy inside the box? Because now, not only is cereal eaten for breakfast, it has also become a popular snack just throughout the day, even for dinner. Now look, I know that we are way more health conscious now than we were when I was a kid, because I remember being a little kid, and I remember trying the Wheaties for breakfast. It was the breakfast of champions. I mean, Michael Jordan was on the front of Wheaties. Walter Payton was on the box of Wheaties. But unless you were going to frost that bland tasting crap and some sugar, I wasn't eating my Wheaties. It wasn't very good to eat. And then, you know, cereal companies started to get cute. They started making like cookies for your cereal, giving you Reese's for your cereal. They were just giving us pure sugar for our cereal. No, I was just a young Irish lad who preferred to eat my Lucky Charms in Guinness the way God intended. Come Halloween, I might give those monster cereals with marshmallows a try. Either way, I really just wanted the marshmallows. My only issue with those cereals was that they were putting so much cereal into my bowl full of marshmallows, which honestly was a little bit obnoxious, but whatever. I just know this. I know that as a young boy eating cereal before I went to school, I was vibrating from the delicious cereal that I had every morning. So happy National Cereal Day to you. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, I don't know, maybe let us know your favorite cereal. We would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are @dailydosesports. Doesn't have to be cereal related. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a suggestion for us here at The Dose. Maybe you need a little advice from us here at The Dose. We'll always get you an answer, and we just might end up using it on the show, but we would love to hear from you. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear that's over there. We now have Daily Dose iTeam gear over there. I've heard back from a few of you. I've heard that you like the new logo. You like the new iTeam gear. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com because they've got t-shirts, they've got sweatshirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, you name it, a number of Daily Dose items over there. So make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. As usual, we do have a couple of sports news stories coming out that I want to cover. But then, as we usually do on Thursdays, we also have a few sports media overreactions of the week. You know, I told you just now, if you're sick of the same old goofy sports media overreactions that you get in your area, we try to take a closer look at some of those on Thursdays. And, you know, we do need to discuss NFL free agency a little bit more too, because NFL free agency, it is coming quickly. Expect to start seeing some moves very, very soon. No, they won't be official, but we're going to start hearing about them very, very soon. But let's jump into a few things coming out in the world of breaking news, and let's start off in the NFL, because teams that have spoken to the Pittsburgh Steelers about a potential trade for wide receiver Antonio Brown have been told that a deal is expected to be in place by already this Friday. Yeah, tomorrow. Any trade that is agreed upon can't officially be announced until next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern when the 2019 league year begins, but they could have a deal already in place by then. Now, the Steelers' asking price, they say, started as a first-round pick and maybe some other compensation. But that has now been reduced to just a first round pick, so they say. Brown, of course, turns 31 in July. He owns an NFL record, 6 consecutive 100 catch seasons. But then he had the falling out with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, says he's mad at quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, he's not happy with the way things are going with head coach Mike Tomlin, and he ended up not showing up for a workday prior to the Steelers' Week 17 game. And he ended up being benched for the season finale. He says he was benched. They say he kind of left. Who knows? Either way, Brown wants out of Pittsburgh. As of last Friday, the three teams that have shown the most interest in Antonio Brown were, they say, the Oakland Raiders, the Washington Redskins, and the Tennessee Titans. Now, the fact that this is all in play right now, it's great news. I'm excited about this. No, I don't really care about the Steelers getting another pick, although, I mean, I guess that's good for them. And no, I don't really care about Antonio Brown getting some new scenery. Although, I do think it's actually going to be kind of funny to watch Antonio Brown, because I don't know if he realizes just how good he has had it in Pittsburgh. I mean, Antonio Brown has been catching passes from what is probably a future Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, right? And for a good portion of his career, he has had running back Le'Veon Bell in the backfield. That doesn't hurt his production, because we know what a good pass receiver Bell is too. So Antonio Brown has been in a pretty good position. Now he's going to go somewhere else. Trust me, it's not going to be that easy. But that's not what makes me happy either. And no, I don't care about any of these teams that are going to be getting Antonio Brown. Although they're going to get what they perceive to be a shiny new toy, isn't it just a matter of time before AB gets mad again? I mean, isn't it just a matter of time before he starts to pout and he quits again? But that isn't what makes this great news for me either. Here is what I am happy about Antonio Brown being on the move from Pittsburgh. I'm just happy that the teams they say are interested, the Raiders, the Redskins, and the Titans, my hometown Denver Broncos, are not being mentioned. And I'm so happy about that. You know, you look at the Raiders, you look at the Redskins, you look at the Titans, those aren't exactly three franchises known for their great personnel moves. But I'm just so happy the Broncos aren't involved here, because I thought, sure, John Elway would be dumb enough to go try to get Antonio Brown. Hey, we'll pair up Antonio Brown and Joe Flacco. What could go wrong? Now, I'm not saying Denver won't get involved, because they still could, but right now, they're not in the conversation, and very selfishly, I'm super happy about that. One other story coming out in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns have released linebacker Jamie Collins Sr. That's what the team announced yesterday. Now, releasing him only costs the Browns $2.5 million in salary cap space, but it saves the Browns over $9 million in cap costs for this upcoming year. And it would save them nearly $14 million next season. General Manager John Dorsey had this to say: "We want to thank Jamie for his contributions to the Cleveland Browns. These types of decisions are never easy. Jamie is a respected veteran player in this league, and we wish him the best as he continues his career." Now, the Browns traded for Collins the season after he had led the New England Patriots in tackles and had gone to the Pro Bowl. Cleveland then signed him to a 4-year, $50 million contract, but he has struggled to make a huge impact on their defense. He's been good. He hasn't been great. And when you're paying a guy that much money, he had better be great. But you know, it's interesting, because a lot of times we hear these deals, hey, 4 years, $50 million. And we think that that player now has $50 million in his bank account. Look at Jamie Collins right here. He doesn't have $50 million in his bank account unless he's invested wisely, because he only saw the first year or two of that contract. And then they cut him. Yes, they have to give him a little bit of it, but they don't have to give it all to him. Remember, NFL contracts are not guaranteed. So a lot of times we hear those numbers up front and we go, man, that guy's got $50 million in his pocket. No, he doesn't. Not even close. And again, we are reminded when we look at the NFL, it is a what have you done for me lately kind of league. Because when Jamie Collins first went to Cleveland, everyone was saying, wow, he's going to take over that defense. He was really, really good with the Patriots. What can he do in Cleveland? He's okay. He's all right. And as a result, he's getting cut because that's not quite good enough. One other story coming out we do want to discuss. I know we talked about this a little bit earlier this week, but remember the story we had about the Santa Anita horse racing track? Yeah, they have now canceled racing indefinitely to re-examine their dirt surface after yet another death earlier this week. That makes, for the record, 21 dead horses over the past 2 months. Tim Ritvo, chief operating officer of the Stronach Group, which owns Santa Anita, told the Associated Press on Tuesday, racing will not be held this weekend when two major races were scheduled. Ritvo wouldn't speculate on when training and racing would resume, but the latest fatality occurred on Tuesday this week when a 4-year-old filly got injured and again had to be euthanized. Ritvo had this to say, "Obviously, one horse is too many. The recent rash is just horrible. We need to definitely take a step back and evaluate everything." Hey, 21 horses? I mean, if you were just running races, say you put 21 horses on the track and you just had people up in the stands taking shots at them with rifles, you wouldn't kill 21 of them. Santa Anita has managed to kill 21 horses in 2 months. What in the world is going on there? Do they have potholes? I know California has some struggles sometimes keeping their roads up to what they should be. I don't know, maybe they just have a bunch of potholes in this track. That would make sense for California. Here's the thing I'm hoping. I'm just hoping that this latest horse that had to be euthanized earlier this week, I'm hoping it wasn't the same horse that we had some audio from. Our Daily Dose I-Team was able to run down one of the horses that was participating back there. She sounded extremely sad.
Just heartbroken. I mean, that whole week, you and I spoke about it endlessly because I was just, I found it very upsetting.
I'm hoping that this latest fatality wasn't the horse we talked to. What was her name again? Sarah Jessica? Hey, I hope she's okay. Santa Anita, you need to figure some things out. No more horse racing for you. This is getting insane. Hey, coming back, we need to get to a few sports media overreactions of the week. But before we do, NFL free agency is coming quickly. We're going to start seeing moves. But what free agents should you hope your favorite team avoids? We've got a few players. I'm telling you right now, they are going to be buyer beware.
By the end of this podcast, nearly 10,000 new malware variants will have launched. Now AI can help protect your data from threats wherever it lives with IBM Security. Let's put smart to work. Learn more at ibm.com/smart/UK.
So as NFL free agency arrives next week, and we'll be closely watching to see which teams are going to grab which players when that all comes down. And there are a few big name free agents that are going to be on the market this year. But not all those free agents that are out there, that are glittering, that are so appealing, they're not always gold. Because there could be some major drawbacks to a few of the big name players on this list. Here are a few big name free agents that you might hear that name and you might think, hey, if my favorite team got that guy, I'd be pretty happy. I'm just telling you, there could be a few drawbacks to a couple of these players. For instance, nearly every team in the NFL would love to have some help on their defensive line. And to get a player that has championship experience, I mean, we just talked about it with Jamie Collins and the Cleveland Browns. You have some championship experience. Hopefully, you can bring some of that to our team. Hey, that would be phenomenal if you could get a player like that. Well, in 2018, New England Patriots defensive end Trey Flowers had 57 tackles. He had 7.5 sacks. There were some that thought the Patriots might slap that franchise tag on Flowers. That didn't happen. So now he is set to become an unrestricted free agent. But here's the problem for Trey Flowers. He is probably going to cost your team more than $16 million a season. And haven't we all seen that both players and coaches that leave the Patriots and leave Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, it's rare that we see them duplicate the same kind of success they had in New England. I mean, you can go get Trey Flowers, but you're going to be paying a lot for him. And I don't know that you're going to be getting that much in return. When people leave Bill Belichick, it's rare that they look as good as they did when they were under him. So you can go get Trey Flowers. He's going to be expensive. He might not produce as much as you think. And you know, a number of teams this season are going to be on the market for a new wide receiver next week. We talked about a few of them yesterday. The Buffalo Bills probably need new wideouts. The Minnesota Vikings would love to have a few more receiving targets for Kirk Cousins. And when this next guy is healthy, he can be a game changer. He's had seasons of nearly 100 catches, and you can usually count on him for about 5 touchdowns every single season. The problem is, Randall Cobb is rarely healthy. Do you realize Randall Cobb hasn't played every game of a season since 2015? This past season, he played in 9 games. He had 38 catches. I mean, that's not bad. But he's probably going to be wanting between 8 and 10 million bucks. For a guy that averages just 13 games per season because it seems like he's always hurt, I don't know, that seems like a lot to pay. Especially when his production isn't so big that you're saying, well, yeah, he's going to miss 2 or 3 games, but I mean, look at him. He still goes out and catches 60, 70 balls. No, he had 38 catches this past year. And who was throwing him the ball? Aaron Rodgers. Do you have Aaron Rodgers? Because if not, his production might be even less. Randall Cobb, you can go get him if you want to, but I'm telling you, there's a little bit of buyer beware there. Now, one of the biggest names in free agency this year will be this next guy, and let me run down his stats for last season. He had 0 rushes for 0 yards and 0 touchdowns this past season. But hey, there's no question. Le'Veon Bell is one of the most talented players in the NFL. He can lead your team in rushing. He could probably lead your team in receiving. He's that good, well, when he's actually on the field. But we all know, he sat out this past season because he didn't want to risk getting injured when he was being given that franchise tag by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know that players today, they are hugely insulted when they get that franchise tag because they want to go out and test the waters. And the team is saying, no, we want to keep you here and try to get you a long-term deal. You can't go somewhere else. You've got to stick around here and play for what your position says you get. But Le'Veon Bell this past season was going to get $14.5 million to play under the franchise tag. He didn't do it. Hey, if $14.5 million isn't going to motivate you, what in the world is? That's a pretty good amount of money. And he sat out and said, no, I don't want it. I'm saving myself. I'm going to go get a bigger deal than that. Also, let's keep in mind, Le'Veon Bell has missed time with suspensions because he has violated the NFL's substance abuse policy a couple of times. So not only are you getting a guy who, yes, is talented, but also, I mean, I don't know how much he loves to play, and he might get in some trouble off the field. That's who you're going to entrust a huge contract with? But hey, maybe you'll get the super focused Le'Veon Bell. And maybe he'll be worth like the $20 million contract that he's probably going to be demanding. Maybe. Or maybe he gets hurt. Or maybe he gets suspended again. Or maybe he just doesn't feel like playing. Hey, you can go get Le'Veon Bell if you want to. I don't know if I want that guy on my team. Next guy up, and this guy up might not have as big of a name as the others on here, but outside linebacker Shane Ray was showing some promise early in Denver. He was actually drawing some comparisons to Broncos all-pro linebacker Von Miller. But the Broncos chose not to pick up Shane Ray's fifth-year option, and they have now allowed him to become a free agent. If your team is looking for a pass rusher, this guy might be able to bolster your pass rush. He has managed to make 30 sacks in the past 4 seasons. But sometimes when we see these players become free agents, you kind of have to ask yourself, well, why didn't their team want them? Why isn't Denver picking him up? Why wouldn't they keep him? If he has so much promise and he could maybe be the next Von Miller, why would Denver let him walk? Well, I'll tell you why Denver let him walk. Because he suffered a wrist injury in 2017 and it has continued to bother him ever since. Also, add to the fact that yes, he had 30 sacks over the past 4 seasons, but he's playing opposite Von Miller, who gets sometimes doubled or even triple teamed. Hey, you better have at least 30 sacks in 4 seasons, but you're not going to get a play opposite Von anymore. Now you're going to be the guy. You might be the guy getting double and triple teamed. We haven't seen Shane Ray be able to consistently beat single blocking, let alone double teams or triple teams. So his production, it's probably going to go down. I don't think he's going to ask for a huge amount of money. If you could get him to be a 3rd or 4th pass rusher, might not be a bad deal. But if you think he's going to come in and change your pass rush, yeah, you're probably going to be disappointed. Finally, with Nick Foles looking like he will soon be a Jacksonville Jaguar, the 2019 NFL free agent quarterback class, yeah, it's going to be a little thin. But one name is out there. And when you hear the name, it might be a little bit tempting to go get this guy. maybe just as a backup. Hey, he could just sit back there. He could just be kind of the brains. He could just maybe help a young quarterback. And if called upon, hey, he might be able to step in and do some really good things. But you're going to want to fight that urge. I'm telling you, don't give in to it. Fight the urge. Despite the gaudy numbers that he posts sometimes. Last season, Ryan Fitzpatrick posted four different 400-yard passing games. Hey, how could anyone not want that? 400 yards in one game? He did it four different times last year. You got to go get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, the reason that you might want to fight that is mostly because Ryan Fitzmagic, he's not always so magical. Because he also had four games last year with not one, but with multiple interceptions. And that's the problem. In Ryan Fitzpatrick's 13-year career, he has played 140 games. Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown 148 interceptions. Hey, that's a big sample size. That's not looking at him and saying, well, I mean, he played eight games. It's kind of hard to tell. We haven't seen him enough. He's played 140 games. If there is one consistency in Ryan Fitzpatrick's game, he's going to throw the football to the wrong team. So you can go sign him if you want. Just know your interception numbers are going to go up. We will keep an eye on who ends up signing these guys. But I can tell you this, I wouldn't want any of them. Hey, so let's get to some sports media reactions of the week. Because on Thursdays, we like to take a look around, see what the sports media world might be telling us. Maybe they're giving us something they really believe. I don't believe that's the case. I think there's a number of times they are throwing these bizarre headlines at us just to make us stop and go, wait, what? Is that really true? I guess they said it, so it must be true. On Thursdays, a lot of times, we like to take a little bit of a closer look and see what sports media overreactions are coming out, and do they make any sense whatsoever? Spoiler alert, they rarely do. And one of the biggest things we have heard this week is with the struggles of the Los Angeles Lakers. And they look like they are in huge trouble now. They may not even be able to make the playoffs. And we are now hearing a number of sports media members saying this. Hey, if they're not going to make the playoffs, if you're not going to make the postseason, LeBron James needs to just shut it down and save everything for next year. We're hearing that all over the place. Turn on a sports media outlet, you will probably hear that somewhere along the way. But I don't agree with that whatsoever. I don't think LeBron James can shut it down. There's a few different reasons for that. First off, remember when the NBA came out and told the New Orleans Pelicans that Anthony Davis couldn't shut it down? And I know they're kind of letting him sit some games out. He's got the hurt finger or whatever. But why would it be okay for LeBron James to shut it down, but Anthony Davis supposedly couldn't do it? But here's the thing about LeBron James. You are trying to build something in LA. You are trying to make the Lakers back into a superpower. And you've got to be the guy. Magic Johnson went and got LeBron James to be the cornerstone of rebuilding the Los Angeles Lakers. What kind of example does it set when you sit out and say, hey, you know what? This isn't going so well. I'm out of here. I realize LeBron James probably hates all his teammates. I doubt he even knows their names. He's probably still calling Kyle Kuzma Stretch or Kenny or something like that. He probably doesn't even know them. And we know he wanted to ship a number of them out, but you're going to have a few of them on that roster. You can't just sit out and say, hey, fellas, go get them. Next year, we'll try it again. You have to be the leader. And it doesn't sound like LeBron James is going to sit out. But again, the sports media world is telling us, just shut it down. Wait till next year. As far as chemistry goes, LeBron James absolutely cannot shut it down for next year. He has got to stay in there. And his legacy is on the line. And his legacy is already going to take enough of a hit just by not making the postseason. Remember, Michael Jordan getting drafted by the Chicago Bulls, who were at the time one of the worst franchises in sports, never missed the postseason. Never forget that. Hey, coming back, we have a few more sports media overreactions to get to today. The NFL Combine always brings out some silly media overreactions. We have a couple of those when we get back.
Business owners, we know how hard you work for your business. At Santander, we think it's time you got something back. Get cash back with a new Santander 123 Business Current Account. It's business, but not as usual. Cash back up to £300 annually on credit turnover. Monthly fee £12.50 for UK-based companies with up to two directors, owners or partners aged 18 plus. T's and C's apply.
Oh, Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you need to pick up something for a friend, maybe you have a birthday coming up, maybe you have an anniversary coming up, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature some of your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. The March Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Cosmic. Are you ready to fly higher, explore further, go faster, and see more than anyone has before? Join us as we embark upon a cosmic adventure filled with otherworldly powers, legendary forces, and dangerous new frontiers. March's Loot Crate theme features items from the new Captain Marvel, Alien, Lost in Space, and much, much more. But hey, remember, if none of those franchises interest you, you can always go to Loot Crate and you can choose from a huge selection of past crates. You can order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, or you can just go over to lootcrate.com and order individual items. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure that you type Daily Dose, one word, in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose. So let's continue with a few sports media overreactions of the week. And we had a couple of them come out this week in the NFL Combine. And one of the things I heard was that Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins ran a 5.0 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. Hey, this guy has bust written all over him. He can't move. He could be a huge risk if you are going to make him the first quarterback selected in the NFL draft next month. Maybe. I don't know what Dwayne Haskins is going to do. I do think this. I think he is a big, strong kid. I think he has a huge arm. But I think that sometimes the sports media kind of gets caught up in weird things. For instance, I think a lot of the sports media world looks at Dwayne Haskins, and you can make whatever this you want. I think they look at him and see, well, he's an African-American quarterback. He must be really athletic, and he's a bit of a runner. If you watch Dwayne Haskins play at Ohio State, he's not a runner at all. He's a pocket passer. He's not getting out and making plays with his legs. He stays in the pocket, and he looks for wide receivers. He's got a huge arm. Now, is he going to be a guaranteed success in the NFL? I have no idea. But when they look at him and they say, well, he ran a 5.0 40. Well, yeah, he's a pocket passer. What did Dan Marino run? Who cares? And I'm not comparing him to Dan Marino, but they do play a similar style. His style is to stay in the pocket and beat you with his arm, not beat you with his legs. I don't care what he ran. Here's the thing. Sometimes we get locked on to he's got to be a runner. He's got to be able to move. He's got to be able to get outside. No, he doesn't. Look at Tom Brady. Look at Joe Montana. Were they runners? No. They could slide in the pocket. You have to be able to slide. You don't have to be able to sprint. Tom Brady's longest run is what, like 11 yards in his career? He doesn't run anywhere, but he hops forward, he slides, he evades pressure, and he makes plays down the field. I don't know if Dwayne Haskins is going to be a quarterback in the NFL or not. I have no idea. But I know that his 40 time doesn't affect me at all in the way I think about him as a quarterback. Let's see what he can do passing the ball. That's going to be way more important than his 40 time. One other sports media overreaction we got this week, and I have to attribute this to a specific person because this is kind of a weird one. I don't know if you heard this, but check this out. Former NFL manager and current NFL Network analyst Charlie Casserly said earlier this week that the comments about Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray coming out of the combine were the worst he has ever heard about a highly rated quarterback. Yes, the worst. Remember, Charlie Casserly covered Johnny Manziel when he came out. And somehow Kyler Murray's comments were the worst. Here is what Casserly had to say. Leadership, not good. Study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas and raising major concerns about what this guy is going to do. Those are the comments that Casserly says he heard NFL scouts making about Kyler Murray. Those weren't his comments. That's what he says he heard people saying. Because Casserly actually hasn't been a Kyler Murray hater. He has said he thinks Kyler Murray's height really won't be an issue if he can play. But here's the thing, when I hear these comments, and these comments a lot of times turn into big headlines, and they try to get you to click on them. Charlie Casserly is hearing this information from NFL scouts. Hey, NFL scouts may say anything. Let's say I am the GM for the Oakland Raiders, and I am looking at Kyler Murray as a guy that, oh, I wish he would fall to us. I know there could be a couple of picks ahead of us, but if he would fall to us, that would be great. Do you know what information I'm going to put out? Did you talk to Kyler Murray? Yeah, not impressed at all. Kid is a big disappointment. Didn't like the way he carried himself. He was bad in interviews. Didn't have good leadership. Really bad study habits. Try to put some of that information out there. So when I hear this from NFL scouts, I don't look at it and say, well, that's what they believe. I look at it and say, well, that's what they're trying to spin. Because they have ulterior motives. They may want Kyler Murray to fall to them. Hey, at this time of year, when we're getting close to the draft, I don't believe anything NFL teams say. So when Charlie Cashley comes out and says this, hey, I don't hold it against him. That's probably what he was told. But you have to understand why he was told that. Because NFL teams are looking to better themselves. They don't care about Kyler Murray. They don't care if his feelings get hurt. They come out and they say, hey, this kid, he didn't look so great. Maybe he'll fall to us. And I honestly believe that is the only reason that any of these NFL teams would say those things about Murray. Because when you hear his head coach, Lincoln Riley, that is not the review he had in Oklahoma. It sounds like he was a pretty good kid. It sounds like he was a pretty good leader. And it sounds like his teammates really liked Kyler Murray. But could NFL teams be pushing their own agenda with Kyler Murray? Absolutely they could. And I think that that's all that this was. Hey, again, you never know what the sports media is going to tell us, but a lot of times it is some silliness. But hey, if nothing else, it gives us something to talk about here on the Daily Dose. Hey, tomorrow on the Dose, we will be previewing the weekend in sports. Got a couple of very good games you are going to want to set some time aside for, and we will have our Daily Dose top five for you. You know you've got to stop by for that every single week. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you so much for the feedback. Thank you so much for the texts, for the tweets, for the messages on Facebook. We do appreciate all of it. And most importantly, thank you so much for sharing the show. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Pick up your Daily Dose iTeam gear. You know you need some of that in your life. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.
Business owners, we know how hard you work for your business. At Santander, we think it's time you got something back. Get cash back with a new Santander 123 Business Current Account. It's business, but not as usual. Cash back up to £300 annually on credit turnover. Monthly fee £12.50. For UK-based companies with up to two directors, owners or partners aged 18+. T's and C's apply.